A healing center this morning. Everybody ready to receive the word of God? Did you come expecting? Expectancy is a breeding ground for miracles. Makes a big difference. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. We're going to open up with prayer and get started. Father, we come before you this morning, praising you, blessing you, thanking you, because you are so good and you only do with good. We thank you this morning for the word of God, your living word, which is living power. Hallelujah. Your word is life, it's healing, it's medicine to all flesh. We thank you this morning for the great and mighty Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are acknowledged and welcome here. We expect you to do exactly what you do best. The great illuminator, the great revealer of all truth, bringing great understanding into the heart of each listener here today. We believe that, Lord God. We expect that, Father. And I thank you. I ask that you grant me utterance in the Holy Ghost today, that I minister in the power of the Spirit of God. And I thank you today for thinking through my thoughts, speaking through my lips your words. And when I open my mouth, I will speak as of the oracles of God. And my tongue will be the pen as of a ready writer. We give you all thanks and praise and glory and honor to your name forever and ever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Well, we've been talking about faith as an expression. Last week was part two, and we're going to continue this week, part three, faith as an expression. And we had been looking at different examples in the Bible, hallelujah, about faith being voice activated, motion activated. And seeing how those people won, what they did, that they God told them that he had already given them something, that the land, but he had won the, given them the land, but they had to still do something, like we saw with the walls of Jericho. They the walls didn't just come down because God said, I've given you the land, did it? No, they were going in and they were acting on what God had told them to do. They were shouting ahead of time. They were shouting while the walls were still up, which is a great example of us with your faith. It's not, you don't want to start shouting after the walls come down. That's not faith. No, you want to start shouting while the walls are still up because you believe that you received and healing belongs to you. It's your inheritance. It's your privilege. It's your right. It was bought and paid for the same time your sins were forgiven. Amen? Amen. So that's your benefit. And we got to know, according to the Bible, what our benefits are. And we know that healing, divine health, is one of our benefits. And so the people did something. God gave them something to do. But they still had to trust him. They still had to believe him and act on what he told them. Just like when he said in Psalms 107, verse 20, I have sent my word and healed you and delivered you from what? All your destruction. What did he tell us in 1 Peter 2:24? By my stripes you were healed. Peter, looking back to what was already done in the Old Testament under the Isaiah, the prophet, when he said, you are healed. By his wounds you have been healed. By his stripes you have been healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue to go over about faith as an expression. You know, you think in healing center that you might come to get some deep depth, in-depth teaching or some deep revelation. But you know what? It's all about going over the basics when it comes to faith over and over and over again until you what? Get them in your heart and you apply them in your life. There are people who are hearing things they never heard before. Hallelujah. We welcome all those online. Glad you chose to be with us today. Amen. Praise God. And maybe you've never heard things that you might be hearing today before. So this is why you might hear it for the first time, then you're moving it from information, first time hearing it, second time hearing it, to revelation, where it drops down into your spirit, into your heart. Yeah. That takes time to move it from head knowledge to revelation knowledge. Yeah. And sometimes we want that to be faster and sooner than what it seems to be sometimes. But according to what you continue to apply yourself to, what are you continuing to listen to? What are you continuing to look at? What are you continuing to speak with this mouth right here? Yeah. All of those are avenues into your heart, and it helps you to get that word down in your heart so that it becomes revealed to you, because you're constantly thinking about it, you're constantly pondering it, rolling it over in your thought life over and over and over again. I know when I worked in the shipyard, and I would get those little 3x5 cards, and every week I would have a new scripture for that week, because I would take a whole week to just meditate on that scripture and tape it on the front of my computer, and every time I saw it, I would, in my mind, roll it over and over again. Coming home on the bus, pull it out, start going through those 3x5 cards over and over, just thinking on them, pondering them in my heart. You think, well, Pastor Debbie, is that doing anything? Yes, according to the Word of God, that's called Bible meditation. And we can't do enough of that. And we never get past that. Doesn't matter if you've been 40 years with the Lord, 20 years with the Lord, one day with the Lord. We continue, it's an ongoing thing when it comes to the meditation of the Word of God. Yeah. You'll never get away from that as long as you are a believer and you trust in God and you believe His Word. But it does make a difference in your life and my life how much time we do spend thinking about the Word of God. Because if you're not thinking about the Word of God, which is your answer, and it should be your final say-so, your last say-so, the enemy will make sure you're thinking about the wrong things. That can bring fear, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, wanting to quit, give up, saying this doesn't work, but it does work. I'm here to tell you it does work. If we are patient, what does the Bible tell us in the book of Hebrews? Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Hebrews 6:12. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So patience is a good thing. And it goes right alongside our faith, just like faith and love work together. Yeah. So we have been talking about faith having an expression. And so we started last week with Saul and the men of Israel and Goliath and the Philistines. Yeah. And we've been looking in, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 today. We found out that David, he was well grounded and rooted in his relationship with God, and he knew his father and knew what his father would do. There was no question about it. He was fully persuaded. All that time that he had spent and been faithful in his service to God and overseeing, being a shepherd over sheep for his father, he was very responsible in what he did in his service to God. And he didn't take it lightly, because obviously he had built a real good relationship with God the Father. And you know, it's no different from you, for you and I. Everything flows out of relationship. We just don't want to come to God to get something from Him. We want to build a strong relationship with Him and get to know Him. Because He is a good Father, and He is a loving Father, and He does care about you. He cares about every minute detail of our lives. Well, if He does, Pastor Debbie, then why am I dealing with this? Because there is an adversary, a devil out there who hates you. He hates you. And he doesn't want you to believe God and take him at his word. It's so simple, to just believe God and take him at his word. So we know we're to resist the devil. We know that we're to give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. Then you got James 4:7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. As long as you're living on this earth, you will be exercising your dominion through your words and putting resistance back against what's trying to rob and steal you of your benefits, of your inheritance. All of us, as long as we're living and breathing and walking on this earth, we will be constantly resisting and pushing and putting pressure back against what's trying to come against our life and get you convinced otherwise, something that's very contrary to this word of God. And the enemy, when he begins with the thoughts, he brings the lying symptoms in your body to convince you, to persuade you with the thoughts. This is where the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. As the children of God, as the people of God, as sons and daughters of God, we cannot be ignorant or unknowledgeable of how the adversary works against us, his schemes, his strategies, his tricks, his lies, his deception. If he can get you thinking a certain way, then he can get you believing a certain way. Because especially if you take those thoughts that he throws your way, and you begin to what? Entertain them and think on them. The next thing you know, you're seeing the pictures of that opposition that he's trying to get you to accept. This is where you got to what? You cannot outthink the devil. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts, but you can fight thoughts with words. You can out-talk him. And we're going to see more and more with the example here with David and Goliath. You can out-talk the devil and you can outlast him. He wants you to make you think that you can't, but you can. You have endurance and patience from God himself. You are well able. Yes. Well able. He doesn't want you to know that, but you are well able. He equipped you. He anointed you. He gave you everything you needed.
He did.
And he authorized you and he deputized you. Don't forget about Luke 10:19. Gave you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Tread upon them. You're to walk on them. You're to tread upon them, not him tread on you. Don't allow the circumstances to tread on you, and don't be moved by what you feel, because our feelings should line up in what we believe, not dictate in what we don't have. Come on now. Yeah. So it's so vitally important, vitally important. So we're looking here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Everybody with me today?
Yes.
David used his mouth.
Yes.
And we'll go back a little bit, and we're going to start in verse, let's see, let's go to verse 11. It says, when Saul and all of Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Well, we look at verse 8 and 9 in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 and 9. We found out that Goliath would come out and he would say, verse 8, it says he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, why have you come out to draw out for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves. Let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. So this giant, Goliath, went out from the Philistines and he began to torment them with these words. And it says that in verse 11, that when Saul and the men of Israel heard those words, they were dismayed and greatly discouraged, because look at verse 16. We also found out in verse 16, 1 Samuel 17, verse 16, The Philistine, the Goliath, the giant, he came out morning and evening, every day for 40 days. 40 days, morning and evening, threatening them, tormenting them, threatening them, tormenting them with these words. But he was also presenting himself before them so that they could see him as a giant. And so it says, when Saul and his men got very discouraged and became greatly afraid. So words that they heard, they allowed those words to paint a picture of defeat already. And they ain't even started anywhere good yet. I mean, the battle ain't even started good. I mean, this giant is just coming down into the valley there on one mountain, and Saul and his men on another mountain, and he's threatening them every day, 40 days, morning and night, morning and night. First thing when you get up in the morning, the thoughts bombarding you, bomb, 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 bomb. How about this? How about that? What about that feeling right there? What about that back there? What about, come on now. Morning and night. Then before you get in bed, when you want a good night's rest, here comes the thoughts again, bombarding you again. Yeah. This is where you got to be determined and get up and put action to your faith, because faith has an expression. Instead of laying there in bed and feeling sorry for yourself and having a pity party or getting discouraged, get out of the bed. Get your Bible. It's like I've heard some of the generals, when they say, generals in the faith, some that are living and some that have gone on to heaven. They said when the pressure got on them, they did not stay in the bed. Right. They got up and began to do something with their faith. Right. It was vital to their faith. They knew that God had the last say-so and the final word over their life, and they were determined to pull the Bible out. They walked back and forth in their room and declared what was so about them. Right. Do not ever forget the power of the Word of God. When you get that Bible out and you open it up, you begin to declare and you say, this is what I believe. This is who I am. This is what is true about me. Right. And you're going back and forth and you're declaring those healing words like we have in the back on the table back there. If you don't know where to start or what to do, we have resources to get into your hand, even little mini books that will help you get started so you do know what to say when you are being threatened by the enemy. So don't lay there and give in. Get up and begin to express your faith either through your words or your actions. Really, when you get up and you get your Bible, that's words and actions. That's your words and your actions. That lets the enemy know that you're serious about what you believe. He knows whether you're serious about it or you're not. He does. So right here, it was verse 16, we see that Goliath, the Philistine, was coming out every morning, every night, 40 days in a row. So do not get discouraged about time. We serve a God of timelessness, and he's not in time. Only we on this earth are in a time zone. So you cannot be moved by time, but you can be moved by the Word and what the Word says. That's right. Hallelujah. So what are you in verse 11 when it says they heard Saul and the men of Israel heard words and they became discouraged, hallelujah, and dismayed and fearful. You know, it tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, it says, attend to my words. What are you continuing to look at and listen to? It says, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not escape from thy sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and what medicine, health, healing to all your flesh. To those that find them. That means you got to do your part. Yeah. those who actually get up and are looking, doing something, speaking, listening, looking. All right.
Yeah.
So just reminding you, don't allow the enemy, his thoughts, to put the wrong pictures in your mind. If you're seeing the wrong pictures, you're entertaining the wrong thoughts. Sometimes you don't even catch yourself until it maybe a moment or so goes by and you have to catch yourself. Say, nope, that ain't me. That ain't what I have. That will not be what happens. That's not the end result for me.
Yeah.
Say it. Hallelujah. Yes. All right, so let's move on here. So then we find out that David's father, Jesse, tells David that he wants him to send him to his brothers and check out, see how they're doing, take them some cheeses and some bread, and find out how all the battle is going. So David leaves his sheep with a responsible another sheep attender, and he goes and does exactly what his father asked him. So in verse 22, it says, David left his packages in the care of the baggage keeper, and he ran into the ranks and came and greeted his brothers. And as they talked, behold, Goliath, verse 23, and as they talked, behold, Goliath the champion, the Philistine of Gath, came forth from the Philistine ranks and spoke the same words again as before. And David heard them this time. Here's the difference. David heard them. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw, so not only did we see in verse 11 they heard something, now there is talked about what they saw and how it affected their believing. It said, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, this big giant, he wasn't of little stature, he was big, almost 10 feet tall. When they saw the man, they fled from him terrified. Here we go. And the Israelite, verse 25, and the Israelite said, have you seen this man who has come out? Surely he has come out to defy Israel. And the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter, make his father's house free from taxes and service in Israel. Come on now. Verse 26, and David said to the men standing by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Oh boy. It says, and takes away the reproach from Israel, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine? So when David does open his mouth after he hears the same thing that Saul and the men of Israel heard and have been hearing, he hears it. And the first thing that he says is, look, this guy doesn't even have a covenant with God. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David knew his God was alive and well. Come on now. He knew his God was alive and well, and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He knew that he did not have a covenant. Well, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, we have a better covenant based upon better promises. Hebrews 7:22, Jesus is the surety of that better covenant. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. His blood that sealed and ratified that covenant that we have with him, with us and the Father God. There was a divine exchange that took place. For poverty, he gave us wealth. For sickness, he gave us health. For death, he gave us eternal life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We received an inheritance from God, and he took all of our junk. It was laid on Jesus. Sickness and disease and lack and poverty and all of that fear. He took it so that we wouldn't have to, hallelujah, see it on him. And so that when they saw the giant, they got fearful. Well, it tells us in Proverbs 23, verse 7, the you that you see is the you that you'll be. In other words, it says, as so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you can't see it, you can't be it. So as a man thinketh in his heart. So your mind has two levels. It has a memory and it has a imagination. You can choose to go in memory, which will replay your past over and over again. Or you can go into imagination and begin to use your imagination that God gave you and begin to see yourself the way God sees you. That's your choice. You can choose. The you that you see is the you that you will be. And what does it tell us? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. We looked at it last week. It says, while we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are what? Temporal, subject to change, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So we know the word of God, which is eternal, can swallow up that which is being seen. And it can change it.
Yes.
The eternal can change the temporal.
It does.
And then it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, what we are to look unto Jesus, the living word, the author and perfecter of your faith, the starter and the completer of your faith, looking unto Jesus. Look unto him. Looking away from anything that would distract you from the word. You mean, I got to choose that passage? Mm-hmm. Yep, sure do. So that David was right there. He heard the same words, and immediately coming out of his mouth is no match for the God that I serve. More or less, that's what he was saying. He's uncircumcised. I know the God that I serve.
Yeah.
And then it goes on, and then we see in verse 28 that his own brother, his oldest brother, let's go to verse 28, 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he said to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why did you come here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? A threat from his own brother. Trying to get David to what? Look at it in the natural. David says, I might be small. You might think I'm a nobody. But I know the God that I serve.
Yes.
Come on now. We got to know the God that's on our side.
Yes.
The God that's for us and not against us. The God that lives in us.
Yes.
Who's well able to put you over every situation, every lie, every threat, every report that comes your way. Oh boy. So his brother tries to remind him in verse 30. It says, and David turned away from Eliab to another, and he asked the same question again to the men. They gave him the same answer. He wanted to know what the king had said again. Those words sounded good to him. Verse 31, when David's words were heard, they were repeated to Saul, and he sent for him. Verse 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail. Let no man's heart fail. Well, obviously, David had seen the response from Saul and the men of Israel and saw how they immediately became discouraged. It was very evident, and it could be seen. David says, don't let any man's heart fail them because of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight with him. He didn't hesitate or think about what his brother had just said about him and put him down as being little and nobody. And he says, I'll go and I'll fight with this giant. But I like this because he said, Here we go. David uses his mouth again. You see, the whole time so far, David is winning the war of words well before he wins the actual victory.
Right.
He's using his mouth about everything that he's saying. He's very careful of what he's saying, but he's saying what is real to him.
Yeah.
And he knows his God.
Yeah.
So David uses his mouth. Let no man's heart fail. What does it tell us? John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. We live in a world where the enemy is trying to trouble our hearts all the time with the news that's coming in from every angle, every side, every way it can come at us. But it tells us in John 14, 1, and then let's go to John 14, 27. John chapter 14 and in verse 27. I'm reading all of this from the Amplified. So we know in verse 1 of chapter 14, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. I love the Amplified. Don't let them become distressed, agitated. But look at verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. How in the world do you stop that and do that, Pastor Debbie? You begin to get up and start praising your God. Praise Him loudly and boldly. Well, we talked about the walls of Jericho. They shouted. I like what John Wesley said. He said, shout and strike terror unto your enemies. The devil hates when you begin to express your faith and begin to shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice of praise. Why? Because you know who has already been declared the winner, the overcomer, the more than conqueror. You and I have been declared already according to the word of God. Whether you feel it or see it, you are the winner, the overcomer, the more than conqueror right here, right now. Hallelujah. So in this day and time, we cannot allow our hearts to be troubled. If you're feeling troubled, agitated, irritated from the enemy and him bombarding you with the negative thoughts and pictures and words, get up and begin to praise your God by faith. Shout with a voice of triumph. Those things have power in them. It's an expression of your faith. And the devil can't stand around. He won't stick around where someone is worshiping and praising God.
That's right.
You think about Paul and Silas. Pastor Chris talked about Paul and Silas Sunday morning, Acts chapter 16. Here they were down in the deepest dungeon and prison and shackles and chains and couldn't even hardly move. And they was in filth and stink and they decided to what? Pray and sing praises.
Yeah.
And it brought the power of God in that place.
Yeah.
So never underestimate the power of your praise.
Yeah.
It brings God on the scene.
It does.
It activates the supernatural right in the natural.
Yeah.
It brings God's power and activates it on your behalf. Now think about King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel. And man, when God told him when he sought the Lord, he was surrounded by all these armies. And he said, Lord, what are we to do? We and the people, we got on their faces. They sought the Lord. He said, send the praisers out before. Oh my gosh. Come on. Send the praisers out before the army. And start shouting and praising and saying the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. He was getting them in what? Unity.
Yes.
Saying the same thing.
Right.
Oh my goodness, do we realize how powerful our praise and worship is?
Yeah.
Look, when you sit there and you look discouraged and you act discouraged and you kind of isolate yourself, that's not good. Because darkness can begin to unfold on on you and all around you. You do not want to do that. Get up. Call somebody. Get one of the four crazy friends that it talks about in the gospel. Yeah, four crazy friends that brought their friend right before Jesus. Stir yourself up. Faith stirs itself up. Yeah. Okay. Y'all still with me? You're awful quiet this morning. Praise the Lord. You're getting it. You're taking it in. You're soaking it up. Amen. That's what a good student does. Praise God. All right. So if we go back here, I wanted to read one more scripture here. We're in John 14, verse 27. Let's go to John 16, verse 33. We're talking about where David said, "Let no man's heart fail them." Don't let your own heart fail you. 16, verse 33, Amplified, it says, Jesus said, "I've told you these things, so that in me you can have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you're going to have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration." Jesus said this. He says, "But be of good cheer." Here we go. Be of good cheer. Think yourself happy. What did Paul say in the book of Acts? He says, "I think myself happy." He said, "It may not look like a happy situation, but," he says, "I'm going to think myself happy." Woo! Right in the midst of the turmoil. The bad report, the evil report. I'm going to think myself happy. Woo! Come on now. So Jesus said right here, he said, "In the world, you're going to have trouble, tribulation, trials, distress, frustration, but be of good cheer. Cheer up. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted." Woo, why? "Because I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you." Think about that one. That's a good verse to think on over and over and over again. Just roll it over in your thought life. I have already overcome this world. I've already conquered this situation for you. I've already provided for your victory. I've already provided for your success. Now grab a hold of that. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Dance a jig for Jesus. Celebrate. Come on. Be of good cheer. Thank yourself happy. Glory to God. Woo. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. I'm too worried about what it looks like, Pastor. That's the problem. You cannot be worried about what faith has an expression to do. And you can't worry about what others think. It's at that very moment, it's you and God. And that's the way you got you and the Father. And that's who you're pleasing. Hallelujah. So just a reminder here in verse 33. Jesus said these words, "I've already overcome it for you." Woo, that's a good one. Roll it over, roll it over, think on it. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 17. So he says, "Let not these men's heart what fail them." So that's back up in 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. "Let no man's heart fail." You know, when it tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, "Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart flow the springs of life," one translation says, I think that's the Amplified. "Forces of life" is another translation. Forces and springs. Do you know that faith is a force? Love is a force. Faith is a force that flows out of your heart. But the Bible says we're to guard our heart. I mean, with everything within us. So what are the three gateways into your heart? Your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth gate. You're guarding those gates constantly because they have inroads into your heart. They will affect your heart. Oh, Pastor Debbie, I'm going to watch that rated R movie. It won't affect me. Well, you keep watching rated R movies and see if it don't affect you. It will. It will. Because in Lamentations 3:51, he said, "My eye has affected my heart. what he kept putting before the eyes did affect his heart. That's one of the gateways into your spirit, into your heart. So we are to guard our heart with all diligence. Be serious about it. It does matter what you look at, what you allow into your life. Yeah. So we keep going here. Y'all still with me? Hallelujah. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. So here we are. let's see. Verse 33. And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go to fight against this Philistine. You're only an adolescent, a youth, and he has been a warrior from his youth." Verse 34, and David said, here we go, he's using his mouth again. David said to Saul, "Your servant kept his father's sheep, and when there came a lion or again a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." Come on now. What's David doing? He's beginning to rehearse the past victories that he knew his God brought him through and put him over every single one of them. He's going down memory lane with King Saul. He says, "I know what I have seen here and what God has done for me." Verse 35, he says, "I went out after it. I smote it and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by his beard, smote it and killed it." Well, that was just not something David did in the natural. That was the supernatural that came on David because he believed his God. Yeah. And that supernatural power was activated on David's behalf. And look what happened. He was able to slay a lion and a bear. That's pretty good. I don't think I'd confront no bear, grab him by his beard, swing him around a couple. No. Not unless it was a supernatural power that came on me. Yeah. Hey, praise the Lord. So he said in verse 36, "Your servant killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine," he's using his mouth again to declare the outcome. Are y'all getting this? Yeah. Just like you should be using your mouth constantly to declare the outcome of your situation. To declare what is so and what is not so. Lies fail, truth prevails. So this is David's faith in action with his mouth. verse 36, so David declares with his mouth the outcome. And then he declares this giant or this uncircumcised Philistine. He speaks right back over him again and says, "He's nothing. He has nothing. He don't have a covenant, but I have a covenant. I know my God. I know who he. I know what he'll do." He says, "This shall be this uncircumcised Philistine." Verse 36, "shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." He's saying again, he's uncircumcised, and who is he to defy the God of the army? Who is he to defy the armies of the living God? David said, verse 37, "The Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You know, it tells us, in Job chapter 22 and verse 28, "You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and light shall shine on your ways." When it tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4, "The word of a king is powerful." Another translation says that the word of a king is power and authority. Another translation says the word of a king is all authority. Hallelujah. So as kings and priests, come on, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, you are. As kings and priests, it tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, we rule and reign as kings in this life. Kings decree things, and when they decree it, what? It comes to pass. It happens exactly as they say. That's why it tells us in Job chapter 22, verse 28, write it down. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4, write it down. The word of a king is power and authority.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You shall decree a thing. You're decreeing what? What God's word has already said about you. The outcome, the end result. God declared the end from the beginning. You declare the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. So we see here, David continues to declare. He continues to use his mouth. Verse 38, then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head, clothed him with the coat of mail. Uh-oh. Saul was giving David a weapon in the natural weapons. But David knew his spiritual weapons. David knew the spiritual weapons and the supernatural on his behalf. Look at this. It says in verse 39, and David girded his sword over his armor. He tried to go, but he could not, for he's not used to it. He wasn't used to these natural weapons. Mm-mm. He said, and David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I'm not used to them. David took them off. David had his own revelation from God of who God was. He didn't need help from the natural. Okay, hallelujah. Let's look at verse 40. So he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in the shepherd's lunch bag, a whole kid's skin slung from his shoulder, and in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. It says he chose 5 smooth stones. Well, you know that this Goliath, the giant, had 4 brothers. So David was already thinking ahead. If I kill him and his 4 brothers come after me, I'm going to have one for each one of them too. He was thinking. Oh, yeah. Verse 41. The Philistine came on and drew near to David, the man who bore the shield going before him. Verse 42. When the Philistine looked around and saw David, he was but an adolescent with a healthy reddish color and a fair face. Verse 43, and the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you should come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. You know, sometimes when the enemy has something to say, he'll say some things. You just got to out-talk him and not let him have the final say. Okay, all right. Verse 44, so the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Oh, boy. Threatening, life-threatening.
Yeah.
Verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. He says, you might come to me with natural weapons, but I got something over on you. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. Woo! Glory to God. Here we go. So the enemy has something to say. He draws near to David. He doesn't back off. He doesn't let up yet, does he? No. So you cannot be moved by the lies and the threats that come from the enemy. Because the Bible tells us, John 8:44, the devil is the what? He's the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of lies. He knows no truth. That is who he is. That's all he knows. David says, you got natural weapons, but I have spiritual weapons. I have supernatural weapons. He said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Well, how many know that we've been given a name? Oh, come on now. The name that's above every name, hallelujah, the name of Jesus, the name that takes the place of the absent Christ in performing miracles, bringing God on the scene, exercising authority over the devil, the name that's above every name that affects 3 worlds, heaven, earth, and hell. It affects 3 beings, humans, demons, and angels. That name. All of heaven stands at attention at the mention of that name.
Yes.
Oh, we got to know we've been given a name and to use that name and to know the power that's in that name. Jesus said, the believing ones, in my name,
yes.
In my name, Mark 16, in my name they shall what? Cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly poisonous thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. In my name, he said. That's his name that takes the place of the absent Christ. How powerful that name is. Every knee has to bow to the name of Jesus. So, here we go. So David said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, verse 45, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will smite you, cut off your head. I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know, all the earth may know, that there is a God in Israel. David established his what and his when. His what was the victory over the Goliath, the giant. He's been declaring this constantly with his mouth now. Even his actions are starting to back up his words. He's establishing his what? His victory.
Yeah.
His win. Right now, I'm going to do this. Right now, the God of the armies, the angel armies, he's with me. He's for me. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves. Not with sword and spear, not with natural weapons. He said people are going to find out that the Lord saves, but it ain't going to be with natural weapons. They're going to find out what he said. Not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Woo, buddy, buddy, buddy. So David is winning the war of words first with his mouth, and now his actions are beginning to follow. Verse 48, and when the Philistine came forward to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistines. So he had no fear.
Yeah.
Giants running towards him. He's running towards the giant. He's not moved.
Nice.
Verse 49, David put his hand into his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and it struck the Philistine, sinking into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Oh, glory.
Oh,
hallelujah. This is so good, so good. Verse 50, so David... he prevailed. Say prevail. The word of God will always prevail over your enemy. You're on the winner's side, the victor's side.
Yes.
So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with the stone and struck down the Philistine, slew him. But no sword was in David's hand. Verse 51, so he ran, he stood over the Philistine. He took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed the giant. So he took the own giant's sword, pulled it out of his sheath, and cut off the giant's head with it. And the Philistines saw that their mighty champion was dead, and they what? They fled. Whoa, glory, glory, glory. So here you go. David's actions following his words. Voice activated, motion activated. He's speaking and declaring the whole time, right in the face of the enemy, right in the face of the adversary, what will be so. And now his actions are backing it up. No fear whatsoever. He runs toward the giant. The giant is running towards him. Some people would back off and say, whoa. Nope. David kept running toward him, pulled out his sling, put the stone in it, slung the stone, and what happened? The supernatural got into it. Glory to God. It went into the forehead of that giant and killed him. David won the war of words before he won the actual victory. We're looking at faith as an expression. Never run at your giant with your mouth shut. You can out-talk your giant. Like I said, in some of the most critical moments and the pressure is on, do not lay there. Get up, get your Bible, open it up, and go to the healing scriptures and declare, this is what is true about me. This is what I believe is so. This is what is happening in my body. The healing power of God is at work in me, affecting a cure and wholeness. That's what's working in me. The devil trying to paint a picture of the disease is spreading, it's getting worse, it's just going to get worse and worse as time goes by. You say, no, the power of God is at work in me. Look, you got to remember this. Remember the same life-giving spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 8, 11. The same spirit, the same life-giving spirit that raised and quickened Jesus' body from the dead, 3 days he laid in the tomb, raised him up from the dead, dwells and lives in you and I. That same life-giving power, the Holy Ghost, quickening your mortal body because you believe the Word of God. Let's stand to our feet.
Yes.
Same Holy Ghost, same one. Life-giving. Producing life in your body because you say what's working in your body. You say what's not working in your body. The life of God is working in me. In every cell, every tissue, every fiber, every organ of my body has the life of God permeating it, causing it to function and work properly the way God intended it so. They say, oh, well, it doesn't look like anything's changing. The power of God's working in me. The healing power of God's working in me. I believe it. I expect it. Glory to God. And I'm looking for it all over. Hallelujah. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't quit. God's word has the power within itself to fulfill itself. Remember in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, God's word is alive, all-powerful, quickening, energizing, life-giving, life-sustaining, life-preserving. It is all that God is. It can do all that God can do. It is all-sufficient. The word is enough for you.
Yes.
It's living power.
It is.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for your word that never returns unto you void, but it does go out and accomplish that for which it was sent. It prospers where it's being sent. We thank you today. It's not void of your power nor void of your ability, because we believe Jesus is the living word, and our faith activates and brings God on the scene, that living word of power right into our situation. When we continue to praise you and bless you and thank you and shout with a voice of triumph, think ourselves happy, cheer up, believe God, it shall be even as it has been told you. That's what Paul said. So Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you continue to bring these words up and remind them who they are, what they have, what they can do in Christ. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In Jesus' name. Now, you might be in here this morning and you would like to have